When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I remember when I heard my first creator interview or read my first creator interview where the interviewee, I don't remember who it was, but I do remember this feeling. The interviewee responded to a question about ideas and not where do ideas come from necessarily, but more like where did this particular idea in this particular story come from? Was there any inspiration behind this? How'd you come up with that? And I think that's like a lot of times what people are asking for when they're asking where to get your ideas. They just want to know like, you know, the process of any particular idea that you had. But I remember the feeling of disappointment when I read the creator give the line, I don't know. I don't remember. Or maybe it just came out of nowhere. It just like there I was one day and like the idea just kind of occurred to me. I thought it was funny and I did it. In retrospect, I wonder if that was Keith Giffen who said something. That sounds like something he would say in an interview. Sometimes that guy was just so iconoclastic, especially back in the 90s. But I remember feeling like a little bummed out reading that because when you admire somebody's work and when you're responding to it, you're responding to some ineffable thing in there, some quality. And maybe you have some ideas on your own as to what it is about it that you're responding to. Maybe you don't. But either way, you kind of want to hear from the creator whether or not, you know, like what they want, what they put into it. And I'm speaking specifically about the person who's like really nerdy about a certain artist's work, right? Not just like the general public, they don't care, not necessarily. I mean, odds are they're not that terribly interested in hearing every artist explain every idea behind their work. But when you're really into an artist, you kind of want to know that kind of stuff. You want to know what's the motivation, what was the process, what's the inspiration, and so on. And every once in a while, you get those artists, or you get responses where they say, I don't know. And as a young man, I remember just being really bummed out about it, thinking like, I know there's more going on there. How could they not know? How could they not be paying attention to it? And I remember kind of like thinking at the time, like, I don't want to be that. Like, if I ever get to be somebody who people want to talk to about their work, I want to be prepared to be able to speak about it. Even if I can't now, I will. I'm going to think really hard about it, and someday I will be the kind of guy who can talk about it. The reason I'm bringing this up is I kind of realized something today when I was working on a Boulder and Fleet page is that there's this kind of symmetry between the four mineral gals that are the main antagonists of the story I'm working on right now, and I don't remember whether or not that symmetry was intentional. I suppose if I had more time, I could go back through the Thunder Punch Daily archives and listen to them all, which I'm not going to do because I don't go back and listen to my own stuff all that much, except for like quality control, to see if maybe I did talk about that at one point or another. I don't think I did though. I don't have any memory of that, but I also don't have any memory of whether or not this symmetry is intentional. What symmetry am I talking about? So when you see the page that drops tonight at boulderandfleet.com, Agnes and Roxanne are making their attack towards Boulder. Boulder has now just dispatched Sapphire on page 50. Page 51, Sapphire has called for help, and Agnes and Roxanne are responding to the call, and so they are on their way to get Boulder, as it were. And Roxanne's power is she can roll into a giant boulder that like crushes everything in its path. And Agnes can make the crystals on her arms extend, and she can dig in the ground really fast, all Looney Tunes style, like Bugs Bunny, right? So they both have close quarter attacks. Like, they have to get near you in order to attack you. And they're best buddies. Sapphire and Rube, on the other hand, both have missile attacks. They both have crystals. Sapphire can shoot crystals out of her crystal cannons on her arms. Rube can fire lasers out of the crystals that are all over her body, like out of her hair, out of her arms, and so on. And they're the ones with the tighter relationship. Sapphire and Rube have this very much like supervillain and underling kind of relationship, or rather the underling who doesn't respect the supervillain kind of relationship. So as I was drawing the characters today, I was like, hey, there's like a really neat little kind of funny symmetry going on here. I wonder if I meant it. And I really don't know. the two characters who have the missile attacks, the ones who are more interested in fighting, the ones who have the close quarters attacks are less interested in fighting. All I remember is just thinking how cute it would be if two of the girls were like really good friends and more interested in they're not as interested in the bandit life as they are interested in eating really delicious metal and being friends. Just because that's funny. It's funny when supervillains aren't terribly motivated to be supervillains, to me. But it points to this romantic ideal that we have about writing when we're starting out. When we're beginning, we think about the writer who holds themselves up. They lock the doors, don't interrupt me, genius at work, and all this genius is coming pouring out of me. And the more I've worked in comics, even with collaborators, you know, like something Dan Mishkin once said when we were working on, we were doing a talk about the Warren Commission report, and this is like right after it came out. So like it was only, I think we finished it like 8 months before that. So like the process was still fresh in my mind. And Dan said, you know, when you ask a comics creator after a while who did what, they really can't tell you anymore. You know, it's like when you work with a team, you kind of forget where all the ideas came from. It's like Dan said, I can tell you that I wrote the script and Jersey did some of the art, but I can't tell you where the specific choice to make the drawing look this way came from. And at the time I remember thinking like, oh, I can remember that. But as I get further and further away from that process, I don't remember anymore. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's ultimately it's a good thing because you don't want to get too hung up on, you know, there's a line from one of my favorite cartoons, which you probably know, where it's like, it doesn't matter who made the right choice as long as the right choice was made, right? Or it doesn't matter who inspired the right choice as long as the right choice was made. I think that's how it goes. But yeah, that was on my mind today. That was my first little essay, is that there is this romantic notion when we're starting out that like the genius just comes fully formed and everything is intentional. And as somebody who talks a lot about intentionality in my audio essays and on the podcast that I do, yeah, I do like to be as deliberate as I can, but there's a balance. And some of the stuff just comes from, you know, muscle memory. I've talked about how I love baseball. And one of the things I enjoy about the game is when you're at bat and you're swinging the bat, there's like this kind of blank moment of when the swing begins and when you connect to the ball. Like I kind of don't know what's happening right there. I'm trusting my body to finish the job when I start the swing, kind of thing. And that's because, I mean, I'm not a professional player. I'm a complete and utter amateur. So that might not be the right way to play, but that's an aspect of it that I enjoy, is that it's this combination between the intentional and the unintentional. There's my essay bit for today. And oh my gosh, am I really closing in on 8 minutes already? Okay. Well, a couple things to check off the list. So yeah, I finished coloring Boulder and Fleet page 53. It took less time than I had anticipated. I blocked out 2 hours for it. It took me an hour and a half. That's always a good feeling. And I think it's because I have been keeping in mind this sort of this motto for probably the remainder of the year, is loosening up. There was a moment in panel two where I could get by with doing less coloring, and I took it and I did it and it looked fine. I could have noodled over it, but I didn't allow myself to, and it looked just fine. See if you can spot it when it drops next week. So I'm going to have to remind myself, I'm going to keep on with that mantra of loosening up, loosen up, loosen up. Don't be so tight on this, because, you do have to ship as well as make lovely things. And the other observation-y thing today, let's see if anybody relates to this one. Literally an hour ago, I was working and I felt that like heavy tug of my body, like just like the gravity suddenly kicked in and my whole torso just kind of slumped. And it was as if my body was saying to me, like, wouldn't a nap be really good right now? Like, it's like, I don't feel like I can't focus. I can think straight. And I think I'm speaking clearly now, but it's like my body just suddenly said like, whoa. Like, you feel like that power drain. It's like, a nap would be really nice right now. But I got to go to class in a little bit. I got to go teach a class. So, no, I don't get to take a nap. I would love to. But, boy, wouldn't that just be the most wonderful thing in the entire world right now? If you can take a nap right now, take one for me. Because, they're the best sometimes. Like a 30-minute nap in the middle of your workday, if you can afford it, is terrific. And next week, when I'm not teaching so much, I think I might do that. And if I do, I will report it on the Thunder Punch Daily Podcast. So, who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter. This audio essay is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, where I and my buddy Rob Stenzinger are challenging ourselves, and by extension, everybody else in the creative arts, to journal their art day every day for the month of November 2015 and share the resulting audio essay or journal on Twitter with the Art Sound Off hashtag. And you can listen to all the other ones that people are making by following that hashtag, or you can go to twitter.com/artsoundoff and you can see all the ones that have been retweeted into the feed. So, yeah, the audio for this episode has been provided by Kablam, K-A-B-L-A-M.com, your one-stop printing solution for the independent comics publisher. If you want to print a book, you can do is print on demand. So you can print one, you can print 100, and it's really good quality, and it's view. I will report it on the Thunder Punch Daily Podcast. So, who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter. This audio essay is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, where I and my buddy Rob Stenzinger are challenging ourselves, and by extension, everybody else in the creative arts, to journal their art day every day for the month of November 2015 and share the resulting audio essay or journal on Twitter with the Art Sound Off hashtag. And you can listen to all the other ones that people are making by following that hashtag, or you can go to twitter.com/artsoundoff and you can see all the ones that have been retweeted into the feed. So, yeah, the audio for this episode has been provided by Kablam, K-A-B-L-A-M.com, your one-stop printing solution for the independent view. I will report it on the Thunder Punch Daily Podcast. So, who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter. This audio essay is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, where I and my buddy Rob Stenzinger are challenging ourselves, and by extension, everybody else in the creative arts, to journal their art day every day for the month of November 2015 and share the resulting audio essay or journal on Twitter with the Art Sound Off hashtag. And you can listen to all the other ones that people are making by following that hashtag, or you can go to twitter.com/artsoundoff and you can see all the ones that have been retweeted into the feed. So, yeah, the audio for this episode has been provided by Kablam, K-A-B-L-A-M.com, your one-stop printing solution for the